If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.
Today is Thursday, March 11th. What were you doing 1 year ago today when the pandemic was officially declared? We're talking about how life drastically changed that week and what to know about nearly $2 trillion on the way. We'll explain what made it into the final version of the COVID relief bill about to become law. Plus, which countries plan to build on the moon, how some colleges are handling spring break this year, and Amazon is the only major book publisher who refuses to do this one thing. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in around 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. Today marks exactly 1 year since the start of this global pandemic. It was March 11th, 2020, when the World Health Organization declared COVID-19 an official pandemic, which means it's a new virus that is widespread or prevalent around the world. On that day, Italy closed shops and restaurants, the NBA suspended its season, and then President Trump addressed the nation, announcing restrictions on travel from Europe. And of course, in the last year, life has drastically changed. Millions of people have died around the world, economies have been turned upside down, and most of us have become more isolated, spending a lot more time inside our own homes than we ever would have imagined. At the same time, science moved quicker than ever to track the virus and create treatments and vaccines that are now being rolled out in dozens of countries around the globe. Tonight, President Biden will deliver his first primetime address of his presidency. He'll talk about the sacrifices Americans have made, the losses communities and families have suffered, and also what comes next. You can watch that speech on any of the major TV networks starting at 8 p.m. Eastern. Of course, it will also stream online, and we'll bring you the highlights tomorrow here on The Newsworthy. The latest massive COVID relief package is set to become law by the end of this week. Congress gave the $1.9 trillion measure the final okay, and now it's headed to President Biden for his signature. This last vote turned out just like the others did, with Republicans unanimously voting no. They still say the package is too big, many parts of it are unnecessary, and the nation cannot afford it. But Democrats, who have the majority in Congress, were able to pass the bill without GOP support. The legislation is dubbed the American Rescue Plan, and it has quite a lot in it. For example, for those making less than $80,000 a year or couples making less than $160,000, it will send up to $1,400 in direct payments per person. And it makes changes to the tax code to benefit those qualifying families with children, meaning for 1 year, it turns the $2,000 per child tax credit they can get now into $3,000 payments. It also adds another $600 bonus for children under the age of six. The bill also extends unemployment bonuses to millions of people who are still out of work. And it funds coronavirus testing, vaccines, and contact tracing. It approves more money to help schools reopen, help small businesses stay afloat, assist state and local governments, and a lot more. There are a few tax hikes on the wealthy and big corporations that Politico reports are meant to offset some of the cost. President Biden says he's going to sign the bill into law tomorrow. The team of people President Biden wants around him while he's in office is starting to look a little more complete. So far, the Senate has confirmed 16 of Biden's 23 nominees for his cabinet. And one of the core cabinet members was approved by a pretty overwhelming vote yesterday. Merrick Garland is now officially Biden's attorney general, putting him in charge of the Justice Department. 20 Republicans joined all 50 Democrats to confirm him in the Senate. Garland spent 24 years on the powerful U.S. Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit. And you'll remember, former President Obama even nominated him to the Supreme Court back in 2016. But Republicans blocked that nomination because they said it was too close to a presidential election. Now it seems a lot of them are on board for him to take on this other role. Senate leaders from both parties praised him as a strong choice for the position. The new attorney general has said he plans to fight against extremist violence, and he's going to make the Capitol riot investigation a top priority. Merrick Garland is expected to be sworn in today. The United States is taking more action against Myanmar. Already, the U.S. has imposed economic penalties against the military regime there. Now it's going a step further, issuing sanctions against the children of the military's leader and six companies they control. This is not only because the Myanmar military forcibly took over the government last month, but it's also in response to how security forces have been treating protesters in the weeks since. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken confirmed those security forces have been attacking unarmed protesters, and news reports say they've even fired their guns into the crowds. At least 53 people have been killed. Blinken says if this continues, the U.S. will, quote, not hesitate to take further action. 10 years ago today, Japan was hit with a triple disaster. First, it was the strongest earthquake in Japan's history. Then it was a 32-foot tsunami that slammed into the country's eastern coast. And after that, the world's worst nuclear accident since Chernobyl. 3 reactors at the Fukushima power plant melted down. The official death toll stands at nearly 20,000. And even a decade later, that death toll is still climbing as remains are identified. But the Japanese people have been working hard to clean up the affected towns and make them livable again. The government has spent nearly $300 billion on reconstruction. For comparison, that's nearly 3 times the recovery budget of the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina back in 2005. Still, there's been a major drop in population. The AP reports tens of thousands of people who evacuated back in 2011 never returned home, and younger people keep flocking to larger cities. Russia and China are teaming up to build an international lunar research station. They say it could be on the surface of the moon, in the moon's orbit, or both. It will basically be used to explore and observe the moon and conduct science experiments. Other countries would be able to use the research station as well if they want to. No word on when construction will start, but this is just the latest push to explore the moon and beyond. Remember, the U.S. plans to send astronauts back to the lunar surface in 2024 and eventually hopes to build a base there as well. All right, we have more news coming up, but first let's take a quick break to thank our sponsor. This episode of The Newsworthy is presented by America's leading beverage companies who are working together to reduce plastic waste in our environment. Not all plastic is the same. America's beverage companies are carefully designing 100% recyclable plastic bottles, including the caps. Their bottles are made to be remade. And they're investing in community recycling programs to help get more bottles back so they can be turned into material used to make new bottles. That completes the circle and reduces plastic waste. Please help get every bottle back. Learn more at everybottleback.org. Again, that's everybottleback.org. Okay, now back to the news. This week, Alaska became the first state to say every adult who wants one can get a COVID-19 vaccine. Specifically, it's allowing anyone 16 and older who lives or works in the state to get the shots. Eligibility continues to expand around the rest of the country, too. But most states still have certain requirements to be eligible, such as being a senior, essential worker, or having an underlying health condition. And speaking of vaccines, artifacts from the very first COVID-19 vaccinations are headed to the Smithsonian's National Museum of American History. They include vials, syringes, vaccine shipping materials, and more. You may remember it was a New York ICU nurse named Sandra Lindsay who got the first COVID-19 dose outside of a trial in the U.S. And that was back in December. Well, now her scrubs, her hospital ID badge, and her vaccination card are going to the Smithsonian as well. The artifacts will eventually be part of a larger collection that focuses on historic epidemics and pandemics. The Smithsonian created a digital portal so the public can make suggestions about what to include in the collection and share their own pandemic stories. And that's open through April. Some college students in California are going to get paid not to travel for spring break. The University of California, Davis, says it'll give 2,000 students $75 gift cards if they agree to stay on campus. For UC Davis, spring break starts in just over a week. And since health leaders still say people should avoid non-essential travel, the school says it just wants to give students an incentive to follow that guidance and hopefully avoid a campus outbreak later. Meantime, other colleges are taking their own approaches to discourage travel. For example, Texas A&M says its spring break will just be a 3-day weekend this year. And the University of Alabama and University of Madison, Wisconsin have canceled spring breaks altogether. Students there will get time off later in the semester when COVID-19 is hopefully less widespread. A new report says Amazon is the only major book publisher that will not let you check out ebooks and audiobooks for free from U.S. libraries. Yes, you may think of Amazon as the largest online bookstore, but the tech giant also works with authors to publish books under its own brands, including Audible. While the Washington Post reports, Amazon blocks those works from reaching libraries' digital collections. The American Library Association calls it the, quote, worst obstacle for libraries. Other critics say it hurts kids as well as the needy the most, who rely on libraries to get books they could otherwise not afford. That said, Amazon does typically sell libraries physical books and audiobook CDs. And a publisher with the company told the Post they're not clear if current digital library lending models fairly balance the interests of authors and readers, and they're looking to invent a new approach. Of course, another takeaway from this, if you did not know already, you can usually check out other ebooks or audiobooks from your library's website for free or by using tools like the Libby app. To be clear, you can still use an Amazon Kindle device to download ebooks that are available at the library, and once your loan is over, that download disappears. And that's it for the main news today, but now it's time for Thing to Know Thursday. But first, thanks to our sponsor, BlueBlocks. The BlueBlocks team is well-versed in the peer-reviewed research when it comes to blue light blocking glasses, and the company was actually created because the founders were unhappy with the quality of the other brands. Now, BlueBlocks has created the largest selection of frames to choose from, along with lenses for daytime, nighttime, and even color therapy. As someone who works a lot late at night, I really appreciate their Sleep Plus red lens option, made to be worn just a couple hours before bedtime. But it really is about making sure you get the right pair of glasses for you. In fact, BlueBlocks is the only company who offers a send-in-your-own-frame service if you want, so you can actually send in an old or current pair of frames, and they'll turn them into BlueBlocks glasses for you. Whether you do that or buy brand new, BlueBlocks caters to everyone, including kids. So learn more and get 20% off your order at blueblocks.com/newsworthy. That's BlueBlocks, spelled BlueBlocks.com/newsworthy, BlueBlocks.com/newsworthy, to get 20% off your order. Okay, now back to Thing to Know Thursday. And today's Thing to Know is about summer camps. At least 45 states have given them the green light to reopen this year, a big increase from last summer. And they're already filling up pretty quickly. That's for a couple of reasons. One is physical distancing. A lot of camps are enrolling fewer campers than usual because they want the ability to spread kids out. The second reason is just high demand, since children have been so cooped up this past year. Parents have seen their kids isolated from friends and spending a lot of time in front of screens, so camps might be a nice sense of normalcy. Of course, for the camping industry, this is a huge shift from last summer. The American Camp Association says 80% of its overnight camps closed for the 2020 season and lost an estimated $16 billion in revenue. But the ACA says most of them survived, thanks in part to federal aid. Now, keep in mind, most camps will likely have more enhanced health and safety protocols in place. And depending on the camp, kids may have to get tested for COVID-19 or quarantine before showing up. And some will not allow parents past a certain point. And that's your Thing to Know today. All right, thanks for tuning in today. We'll be back tomorrow with another news roundup. Until then, have a great day.